Chapter 13. Forgiveness. Forgive defined. To stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. To cancel a debt. Forgiving means giving before it is deserved or earned. To forgive means to give before that is deserved. The for part means before or ahead of. But before or ahead of what? You give before you are paid back. You give before you get the other person's apology or reconciliation or even acknowledgement that what was done to you was wrong. It's forgive, not after this happens give. Never lend money. Never lend money to friends or family members unless you want to ensure future resentment and ruin the relationship. That has happened to me over and over again. If a borrower does not pay me back or does not ever bring up the subject of repayment voluntarily, I start thinking about it and get mad at the person. Also, most people who ask for loans have bad credit, so they're unlikely to pay you back. Don't lend money. If you give conditionally, you expect to be paid back. But if you give unconditionally, you do not expect to be repaid. If you lend people money, they will probably fall short in meeting your expectations on repayment, and the relationship will suffer for it. I suggest that you release everyone currently in your debt, which will relieve the resentments, and then begin the true practice of unconditional giving. A month after my revelations in January 2018, I did that with 5 different people who owed me money. Before I forgave them, every time I saw them on Facebook posting some trip they were taking or showing off something they had bought instead of paying me back, I would feel pissed off at them all over again. So I decided to forgive them all. I texted each one of them with the message, "I forgive you of all the debt you owe me." That was it, short and sweet. Then I received some thank you texts back. Do you have any outstanding loans with people who owe you? Do you resent and hate someone because he or she defaulted, doesn't respond to you, and doesn't seem to care about paying you back? Call or text him right now and say, "You're forgiven of your debt to me." If people owe you an outstanding debt, it doesn't matter if they haven't paid you, or if they've blown you off, or didn't appreciate it, or didn't return your calls, or even if they responded to you angrily or disrespectfully because you asked for repayment. If you want to be free of the turmoil in your head, practice real giving and forgive them of the debt. Take the burden of repayment off your debtors. Give that gift to them. Yes, I'm suggesting that you do that even if they don't deserve it. Practice real forgiveness. I know it's not easy, but the best part is you will get more relief than they will. I know I have. Wouldn't you want someone to do that for you? I would. Those people probably didn't feel good about not paying me back, but I did my part. Plus, I taught them a lesson, planting a seed by my example of how I handled the situation with undeserved forgiveness. They were in the wrong for not settling an agreement they had made, but I was in the wrong to offer help with an expectation that I would be repaid. After forgiving the debts, I became free of my anger and resentment toward them, which was affecting me, not them. Going forward, I will never lend money to people again. I will give money to them or not give it, but I will never lend it. Asking for forgiveness. In my retail business, sometimes a customer has a problem and gets angry and defensive. When that happens, I do my best to assume that there is a misunderstanding, so I attempt to ask questions from a calm, humble place to find a solution that makes the customer happy, even if I think he is wrong or has overreacted to something. Initially, I forgive him, following the rule that the customer is always right, but then, if I decide that the fault is mine, I ask him to forgive me. Just recently, an employee of mine had to look up the price of an item on the store computer. After hearing the price, the customer said it was too high and started to walk out. Then the employee rechecked the wholesale cost on the computer, realized he had looked at the wrong price, and called to the customer, "Hey, wait, I was wrong. The price is less." But the customer had left the store. I was in the back of the store and didn't witness any of this, but my employee came to me and quickly explained the details. I followed the customer outside and said, "Hey, I know we made a mistake, but can you please forgive us?" He replied, "Well, I don't like being lied to." The customer said that my employee had been dishonest and was now just trying to save the sale. I didn't argue that point, but just said, "We made a mistake. Can you forgive us? Give us a second chance?" He paused for a moment and then said, "Yeah, I guess it could have been a mistake and not a lie." He quickly went from angry to friendly and forgiving. Why? Because I didn't argue right or wrong. I just humbly asked for his forgiveness. He then walked back into the store to purchase the item. I returned to the back of the store as the customer worked with the employee on the purchase. When I came out a few minutes later, I said I wanted to throw in another item for free. Then I learned that the customer had already said to my employee that he wanted to pay over and above the listed price for the item. The vibe I felt was that he and my employee were reunited family. The key to this whole situation was that I asked for forgiveness directly without arguing about the details. I just said humbly and calmly, "Can you please forgive us?" and waited for his answer. People do want to forgive, and they need to forgive. Sometimes they just need to be asked humbly for their forgiveness. Forgiveness is always the solution. Staying angry and resentful prevents us from being givers in life. Forgiveness is the ultimate give, especially if the anger and resentment are justified, because then the act of forgiveness requires the ultimate unconditional give, which is difficult because it is the complete opposite of what we feel like doing. Thumbs up and smile. I forgive you for being an idiot. One day, as I was driving, I had to slam on my brakes as a guy started to walk across the street right in front of me without even looking. Usually, my first reaction, which is a typical human reaction, is to think, "What are you doing, you idiot?" But that time, I gave him a thumbs up and smiled instead, and he smiled back. I could see him relax. He knew he had messed up. I could tell in the back of his mind he was thinking, "Thank you for not giving me the 'what are you doing, idiot' look." He deserved that look, but I didn't give it to him. Instead, I immediately forgave and acknowledged that with my smile. Maybe the next time someone walks in front of his car or without looking, he will remember what I did and give that person a similar break. We are always teaching each other how to react by our actions. The world we live in is continually shaped by all of us, one choice at a time. It takes courage and humility to apologize when we are wrong. It is really hard for most people to admit when they are wrong. It takes courage and humility, and I admire and respect people who have those qualities. I look up to them because they teach me by their example. Those are the people I want to be around. Not everyone can say, "You know what? You're right, and I'm wrong. I should have said or done that differently." Forgive others when they apologize for being wrong. When people admit they are wrong and apologize for it, don't rub their noses in the problem or continue to punish them for how ignorant they were. Just forgive them, because that's what we want people to do for us when we're in the same boat. That's how it works. What goes around comes around. How you treat others is how you will be treated. There is no defense against love. Some good responses to intolerance, hate, and anger include, "I forgive you," "bless you," and "I love you." A wise man once told me, "There is no defense against love." The solution to racism is forgiveness. Our own individual perspectives, life experiences, and cultures come into play when racism is concerned. People of all races can and do selfishly harm others. The human race needs to come together. Racism and reverse racism keep the cycle of hate going. Racism and reverse racism both exist. Our experience with racism depends on where we have lived and what races we have lived among. For the past 20 years, I have lived in Seattle, which is a highly diverse population of races and cultures. I am originally from Louisiana, where the population is much less diverse, 62% white, 32% black, and the other 6% other. I am white. Whites first brought blacks into the United States as slaves, which was selfish and horrible. Blacks, please forgive white people for the wrongs they did to you in the past. I know it's a big ask, but I'm asking, please forgive. Being white in Louisiana, I experienced reverse racism from blacks. That is, I had some negative racist experiences from black people because I am white. After high school, I attended college in Montana, where I noticed a similar racism between whites and Native Americans. Since I hadn't grown up in Montana, I didn't have any experience with reverse racism from Native Americans, so I had compassion and empathy for them when I moved to that area. However, I soon noticed negative vibes directed toward me from some Native Americans because I am white. Even if the side that was abused in the past has more reason to extend the hate, forgiveness is always the answer. But it's never an easy answer. It's hard to forgive when there is justified anger. Forgiving is the only solution that helps us all move forward. Without forgiveness, there's an open-ended victim card to play based on justified resentment and anger. Forgiveness is the only answer that will work for the greater good, healing everyone. Hate breeds hate. Love breeds love. It is time to move on and forgive. Otherwise, what you give is what you get becomes a vicious cycle of hate. That cycle can only be broken by forgiveness. Keeping the hate going around and around in circles is not the answer, even if our history seemingly justifies it. Promoting division and encouraging a victim mentality are not part of the solution in today's world. When I feel hated, that makes me want to hate back. It doesn't lead me to want to forgive or have compassion for another's perspective or experience. If we give hate, we will get hate back. It's that simple. What do you want? Who will step up to be the party of real change to heal this world of racism with forgiveness? Who will forgive the haters, regardless of side or race? Who will do the heavy lifting? Arguing is a natural behavior among humans. We encourage it. Who makes the hard choice of forgiving? The solutions are forgiveness, tolerance, and kindness from both sides. Someone needs to make the hard choice of forgiving the other. We need to come together and eliminate the division, hate, and arguing. We, you and I, need to be the first to extend a hand of forgiveness to the other. Be the first to unconditionally forgive. Be an example. But you may say, they should be the first ones to give. No, stop. You must be the first. Lead by example. Forgiving heals. It's not about what you want to give or what your instincts want to do, which is to point the finger and argue. It is about what you need to do, which is to be the one to extend the hand and forgive to start the healing. Can you forgive even though you have justified anger and hate? That is what is required to fix this world. Stress, anger, and hate actually make the hater, not the hated, mentally and physically ill. I am suggesting that you do your best by reacting to hate with love and forgiveness. It will not be easy. In fact, it will be very difficult, but it will not be impossible. Become an example of an expert giver to be part of healing our world. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "We need to love each other, people." Who is right and who is wrong doesn't matter. Forgiveness and love are the answer. Please be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Homosexuality exists by design. Live and let live. Many Christians believe that homosexuality is a sin because in the Old Testament it is called an abomination, and a few disciples in the New Testament said it was a sin. But did Jesus say it was a sin or wrong? No. He said nothing about the subject, at least nothing that was recorded. God does not make mistakes. Everything on this planet has a purpose by design. Newsflash. Some people are born gay, while others become gay later. Everything on this planet, including our lives, is created by design with a connected, intelligent purpose. But much of that purpose is beyond our limited intelligence. Whether we understand the purpose or connect the dots on the "why does this exist" is another story. The most obvious reason that some humans are born as homosexuals is to control the size of our population. There are no mistakes here. At this point, we could use a lot more homosexuals on the planet. We should celebrate people being gay because it helps to control the exponentially increasing population boom that is the number one problem facing the human race. By not having children, homosexuals benefit the continuation of the human species more than straight people do. I took a class in college called Animal Science in which I learned that 10% of the male sheep, the rams, are homosexual. They will only have sex with and associate with other rams. I guess there are a lot of sinning sheep out there, huh? Do those sheep need some kind of re-education? Did God make a mistake on that one? There are no mistakes. Everything has a purpose that we may or may not yet understand, which benefits the whole. Homosexuality has also been observed in orangutans, American bison, bats, pigeons, elephants, lions, dolphins, penguins, giraffes, swans, and many other species. Are they mistakes made by creation or evolution? Or is there a reason we don't understand? Should those animals be rehabilitated or undergo therapy to make them straight? Or should they all be destroyed? The problem is simply that homosexuals don't meet the standards or ideals for straight people, and there are more straight people than gay people. Homosexuality makes some straight people feel uncomfortable. But straight people, especially straight Christian people, need to deal with this issue as Jesus would have dealt with it. Would Jesus judge or condemn homosexuals? Did he? The perspective of straight people is not the only perspective on this earth. Other sexual orientations exist and need to be accepted and tolerated. We are all so self-centered and judgmental as humans, which comes from our own perspective and preferences. We want to impose our own individual standards, preferences, and perspectives on others who are different. Whether we are gay or straight, we want others to conform to our preferences. For most of history, homosexuals have been persecuted and had to remain in hiding. Many Muslim countries still persecute homosexuals and put them to death. As a straight male, I don't like to think about gay people having sex or kissing, and I don't want to see it, imagine it, or hear about it. It repulses me and makes me uncomfortable. Does that mean that homosexuality is wrong, or that it should be prohibited by law because I feel that way and think that way? Of course not. That's just my reaction coming from my perspective of being a straight male. Is being straight the ideal because it is natural for the majority? No. So should straight people judge or condemn homosexuals because they are repulsed by their behavior? No. That view denies the fact that some humans are born gay by design. If you ask gay people if they like to see or imagine straight people having sex, it repulses them too. But their views don't count? Homosexuals don't choose to be gay any more than straight people choose to be straight. Asking a homosexual to choose to go straight is no different from asking a straight person to choose to go gay. It's really ridiculous that this logic of choosing even exists in today's world. It's just ignorant, intolerant, judgmental crap. As far as Christianity goes, remember that Jesus was all about kindness, love, patience, and tolerance. Inclusion, not exclusion. Are gay people rubbing their grievances in straight people's faces these days? Yes, they are, in the name of correcting past injustice and judgment.
It's a reaction to the fact that for most of history, gay people have been killed, suppressed, shamed, and forced to live in the closet.
So, we're witnessing some vengeance today, a justified resentment to get back at straight people, and the Christian churches in particular, for the suffering they inflicted on the gay community for so long. Should gay people unconditionally forgive straight people, regardless of whether they are justified in their argument or in their reasons for resentment? Yes, if they want to be part of healing our world. Unconditional forgiveness is the answer. Gay people, please forgive straight people and the church for all the judgment and persecution in the past and present. Humility, forgiveness, and acceptance are required on both sides to heal this issue. I can clearly see the other reasons aside from population control that homosexuals were created as part of a design. Many gay people teach straight people important lessons by being extremely positive, loving, friendly, and generous human beings. That has been my experience. Some of the best examples of loving partnerships that I have ever seen have been gay men in long-term relationships. Straight people can learn from gay people's examples of how to be giving, loving, kind, and patient with each other in relationships. What gay people do behind closed doors is their own business. I don't understand it or desire it from my straight perspective, but I don't need to, because I wasn't created and designed that way. As a straight person, I just need to accept it and not judge it. Gay people are not mistakes. I don't expect gay people not to be gay just to make straight people more comfortable around them. We need to see each other as family, regardless of whether we are straight or gay. For me to say that you should live according to my perspective would be foolish, and it's the same for the other side. Straight or gay, live and let live. Don't judge. Mind your own business. Love one another. Come together. Stop fighting. You have a choice. Acceptance and forgiveness are the answer. There is painful history to overcome. Let's do our best to be considerate with each other. It takes humility to admit being wrong, especially if one side has been more wrong than the other throughout history. I am asking each side to forgive, but I am asking homosexuals, the more wronged party, to forgive first. I know it's a big ask and a big give, but your example of forgiveness will teach others how to forgive. Remember, forgiving is not just for you, it's for all of us, because behind the scenes, there are no sides. It's all for one and one for all. I forgive you and you forgive me because I am you and you are me. Division and separation are an illusion based on ignorance. Please be an example of forgiveness despite justified hate and anger in others. My intention for expert giver groups is to help us come together, regardless of sexual orientation, gender, religion, political association, or race.